Mr. Vecchi, please find yourself into that seat. Now, before we get going, I got to take a picture of you. You saw what I had to do with the last guest.
Can I just make a suggestion? I know I'm just the co-host and I'm not here.
No, but you're the bringer of pizza. I might.
He's the bringer of pizza.
I wouldn't make any hair jokes about guests when you have Scott Vecchi sitting down in the seat.
He doesn't care. I actually think he shaves it himself on purpose.
This is the Mach 3. Every now and again, I get a little twist in there, and I take a big chunk out. So, but other than that, you got to.
Are you trying for sponsorship here? Scott Vecchi is a candidate for
sheriff,
Plymouth County Sheriff, and we thought we'd give you an opportunity to come in. I actually had a friend of yours, Bill Cormier.
Bill's a good guy.
Bill says, like, hey, I got a friend of mine who wants to come on your show. He says he wants to come on your show. I go, hey, who's your friend? He goes, Scott Vecchi. I go, Scott's been on my show. I know who Scott is. He goes, oh, he wants to be on your show. I go, oh, he was on. Now, it's been a while since you've been on.
It has been a little bit, yeah.
It's been a little bit. And I actually want to say is I actually want to have you on just to give an update as to how things are going.
Awesome. I couldn't ask for him to be going anymore.
And I also, if you want to, you can choose to address, because I know there was an article in the paper. I don't know if you want to.
Yeah, we kind of.
If you did, that could be something we could talk about later.
Yeah, we can talk about that later. On the advice of counsel, I'm not supposed to discuss it anymore. It's gone to litigation. So.
Oh,
yes.
Really?
Yes, it is.
Okay. All right. So then we'll just talk about how the campaign's going. How are things going with the campaign?
Excellent. Excellent. The reception that I'm getting everywhere I go, it's such a positive environment. You know, I'll give the elevator speeches, because I'm a retired gunnery sergeant of Marines with 23 years of police and corrections experience and an attorney. Everybody sees that I'm the round peg in the round hole. That what they desperately need over there is a law enforcement professional, somebody who's worked in corrections. I started, you know, at South Bay when they closed Deer Island back in 1992. And those were the old days when there wasn't any training. The third day at work. The first day was, here, sign all these HR papers. The second day was, go get your uniforms. And the third day, I went into a unit with 120 inmates at rec, and they threw me a set of keys and a radio and said, good luck, kid, we're going to lunch, and left me in this unit at rec. Sink or swim. And I swam.
So basically, it sounds like a weird form of hazing. Not hazing, but it's, you know.
It was just, that's how it was. There, you know, like I said, there wasn't any training back in the early, late 80s, early 90s. They closed Deer Island, which was, it was like Lord of the Flies over there. It was a very strange environment. But the Suffolk County, they used to be the Boston Penal Department. And the Boston Penal Department ran Deer Island, but the Suffolk Sheriff built the House of Correction at South Bay and brought the Boston Penal Department back into the fold. And I got hired in those big waves of COs that they hired. So, and they there was a lot of us. I mean, they were around 1,900 inmates when I was there, 1,900 inmates.
Now, you're the only Democrat that will be on the ballot.
Yes, I am.
Come September 8th. Okay.
So we just want
to make sure, because we actually had a candidate in here earlier who is running for Garrett Bradley's seat,
uh-huh.
And there's a whole host of people who are doing writing campaigns. So
yeah. Who was that?
We had Stephen Burham.
Okay,
of course you have. There's three or four other people who are running for that.
I know Joan is. Yeah,
yeah. Joan Moschino is going to be running for it. There's an independent, and then there's a Republican who's also. Yeah. In on it. So there's a lot of people.
That's an interesting dynamic, especially with Garrett. You know, it was just short notice. It was after papers were due.
Well, actually, he got on the ballot, and he got
an opportunity. He was on the ballot,
right?
And you know, Garrett, nobody was going to really challenge Garrett. So
he's taking a bigger leadership role at his law.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, sometimes opportunities present themselves, and you have to grab the ring when it's there. So, but it just, like I said, it created that weird dynamic in that northern part of the county. So,
what made you want to get involved for this? Because we know that you've been in here before.
Yep.
We've talked when you were running for Plymouth County Commissioner.
Yep.
What is it about the sheriff's office that you see that needs to be changed?
A lot, to be honest with you. Whole lot. The funny thing is, when I was running for county commissioner, I love being a police officer. For those who don't know me at home, my full-time job is I'm a sergeant with the Plymouth Police Department. And I love helping people. I love my job. I love being out there, you know, right on the front, you know, in the car, showing up, answering calls. I've been able to help a ton of people with the Section 35 process. I actually had my first Narcan save.
And what is that? If folks who don't know, What is Section 35?
Section 35 is if somebody needs treatment for addiction and they're not ready to voluntarily do it, somebody can go to the court and petition for involuntary treatment. Right. Because a lot of people who are in the grips of addiction, they don't want to. You know, I'm not going to say they don't want to get out of it, but they can't, and they're not ready to.
The disease has them.
It does. So, a family member or a friend can petition for involuntary committal for treatment. And it's an important thing. And like I said, I'm pretty well versed on it. I've been able to help a lot of people with that. I had my first Narcan save, 2 weeks ago, I think.
What's that like? What's that like when somebody is...
Well, I'm a supervisor. Okay. Like I said, so usually I show up and I'm like, hey, give him Narcan. But this one, I just happened to be there was the first one there. I was at the courthouse doing something else, and one of the court officers found somebody who for recreational purposes, while they were waiting for their friend who was in court, decided to shoot heroin. And,
it's unbelievable.
In the parking lot of the courthouse. I mean, it's really,
it's unbelievable.
That just shows you how much of a grip that has on these people. It doesn't matter where or when, if they need to shoot up, they will. We find them in bathrooms all the time, Burger King, Cumbies, all those places. But anyway, so the court officer found her non-responsive in the parking lot, and I just happened to be, I was there for, it was a motor vehicle appeal. I wrote somebody a ticket, and they appealed it to the judge. And it was funny, because I don't write a lot of tickets, because this person, ran a stop sign. I went to wave her over. Then looked at me and drove away, and then I chased after her, and then she ran another stop sign with me behind her. So like I said, that was obviously a well-deserved citation.
I would think that you would have been well in your rights to call. Now, were you on a motorcycle or were you on?
I was in a car.
Are you in a car? I mean, you could have. Would you have been in your rights to take her into custody for resisting arrest?
No, not so much. Not, I mean, it wasn't really a failure to stop. She was on the phone, and she wasn't, wasn't really. She looked at me and was like, wasn't paying attention to what I was doing.
Oh, okay.
So, but then, when I said, I'm like, do you know why I pulled you over? And she's like, I'm in a hurry. I'm like, all right, so I see where this is going. Now on to the educational portion of our show. But anyway, I was there for that. It's a completely separate matter. And the court officer found the female had gone, she'd gone non-responsive. So I ran, grabbed the first aid kit with the Ambu bag and the Narcan. And this time I actually remembered to take the purple stopper out when I tried to put it together, because you actually have to put these things together on scene under a little bit of stress. And so I gave her half the vial up one nose. She didn't respond. Gave her a half a vial up the other nose. She started to come around. A little sternum rub brought her out the rest of the way. But like I said, I'm a supervisor, so I'm not usually the first responding. I'm there to supervise. I'm there. I show up. Usually the sector car is closer. The ambulance, fire, they'll show up first. So I mean, for me, I was like, wow. I was like, that's the first time. I've been there when they've Narcaned hundreds of people. Maybe we're pushing the limit of hundreds, but I don't want to say thousands yet. But like I said, for me, that was kind of like, wow, I just did that.
And if I could interject here, I'm somebody who works in the newsroom anywhere between 2 and 4 times a week, and I hear exactly what you're talking about. I hear that Ryan Stanton, who's in there right now, has probably already heard 3 or 4 calls where somebody's unresponsive in a parking lot, in a vehicle.
Yeah, it happens all
somebody
the time.
Has found, yeah, and somebody has to arrive on scene and administer Narcan. So to hear you tell us firsthand, you're basically completing the circle for me, because I'm the one who's usually hearing as there's a response, someone making a call, and either a firefighter, a paramedic, or a police officer responding.
Yeah, and actually, my friends give me a hard time. They're like, "Wow, you finally got one." They're like, "I'm like a dozen," and I'm like, "Yeah, I'm a supervisor, so I don't really do it every day." So, excuse me. But the point I was getting to was like with those experiences. Actually, I brought one here too.
So. Okay.
With those experiences, I love being a cop. And when I went around, I ran for county commissioner, because the first thing was nobody understood what a county commissioner was. Everybody's like, "What? What?" So I had to, explain to people what that was, because I wasn't ready to give up being a cop. I love being a cop. I wasn't ready to leave that, and I was looking for to help the county. But as I went around and I was running for county commissioner, everybody, they'd look at me and I'd tell them, hey, look, retired gunnery sergeant of Marines. I've been a cop for a long time. Corrections. I'm an attorney. After I came back from Iraq, the VA sent me to law school, so I became an attorney as well. I like to say I use mine for the forces of good. But they'd look at me and they go, why aren't you running for sheriff? And it was a resounding theme as I went around the county. It was like, they're like, why aren't you running for sheriff? And I was like, well, I don't want to stop being a cop. But after that last election, I did pretty well. I didn't do well enough, but 69,000 votes wasn't anything to sneeze at. You know, that's all. 69,000 people thought I was the right guy last time. And that was in a Charlie Baker, very conservative, very Republican year.
And being a Democrat.
And I was a Democrat. Right. And people look at me and they hear my background and they're like, why are you a Democrat? And my answer is, I've been the vice president of my union forever. I actually had to step down as vice president because of the election. So I've been active in my union since the day I got my stripes. When I was in patrol, I was on the overtime committee, the safety committee. I've been a union guy. And unions are Democrats. No matter what way you cut it, unions are Democrats. So as I went around the county, like I said, everybody's like, why aren't you running for sheriff? And the more I looked over to the sheriff's department, and I like Joe. Joe thinks I don't like him, but he's not a bad guy. But he's getting some really bad advice over there. And if you've never worked in the environment, if you have no police or corrections experience, those institutions are all consuming. And you're dependent upon the people underneath you to tell you what you need to do and what's going on. Whereas I'm the guy that knows because I've worked in it. The other difference between me and Joe, and like I said, I like Joe a lot, but he isn't a forceful leader. And anybody who knows me knows I'm a forceful leader. Actually, I just got a text message, and Vonnie, you know I'm a forceful leader. I got no problem running around knife-handing somebody and being like, hey, this is what's up. And that's what they need over there. You need somebody who's... if only found that amusing. You need somebody who's a forceful leader who will be the guy. And we were having this discussion, like my whole life I've been the alpha. You know what I mean? It's like, not only am I a cop, not only do I ride a motorcycle, I'm on SWAT. You know, I used to be a DRE. You know, I'm a firearms instructor, use of force instructor, taser instructor. You know, I love the job so much that I need to be great at everything, you know what I mean, and I enjoy it, and it because it lets me help people and it lets me teach people what the skills they need. Unfortunately, over there, the deputies they need guidance. You know, they go to the Reserve Intermittent Academy. It's not a full time academy, so they need somebody that knows law enforcement to give them the guidance, the direction. And when I'm sheriff, I'll be teaching in the CO's Academy and the Deputies Academy because I want this is the standard I want you to meet. And to have your boss teaching in these academies saying, hey, look, this is how we use force, you know, only when we need to in a responsible way and all this other stuff, I think that's huge.
When you look at, would you say as far as force, or you say as far as someone who's a little bit more assertive would be a good, okay. How important is it to be careful as to how we look at what's going on in regards to
and that's
police
why,
departments these days?
Yeah. And that's why you need to know what you're doing. And if at any time in history, we need to be training police officers in the proper and judicious use of force, because no matter what you do, it's on YouTube, it's in the news, it's an innocuous thing can blow up into something beyond belief. And I'm the guy. I've been teaching firearms, taser, and use of force for I don't even know how many years. I go to other departments to teach at times. I used to teach at the academy. And having somebody who knows that and understands, but at the same time, you know, I'm very much in tune. The funny thing is that it's been said that I'm an honorary citizen of the City of Champs. You know, I'm very in tune with what's going on in Brockton, which, you know, are the biggest urban part of the county.
Right.
And, you know, knowing the different niches in the community so that, you know, when we're doing police stuff or correction stuff, to say, hey, look, this is what we need to do. We need to do it properly. We need to do it with compassion. You know what I mean? We need to be very, very judicious in our actions and be responsible for everything we do. And I think that's so. Like I said, the experience and the education. You know, like I said, you know, that's me. You know, and as far as the leadership, I'm a retired gunnery sergeant of Marines. I don't think you find anybody with much more leadership than a retired gunnery sergeant of Marines. And
would you let me ask you this: have you had a chance to speak with anybody who works for the sheriff?
A lot of people, yeah.
And I mean, would you? I know that one of the things that you've used to your advantage on social media is videos. And one of the What do you say to some of these individuals that you're talking to at the sheriff's department? I mean, have they seen your videos?
Oh yeah, trust me, especially the last one. I don't know, have you seen this weekend's video?
I've seen a couple of them, and I was gonna, because I know.
And again,
because at one point you reference your opponents, some of the people that your opponent works for that work for your opponent as minions.
Yes.
And so do you think that could be taken negatively?
It could, but those were the political hatchetmen.
Okay.
The people that don't want to, and I have no problem with anybody in the Plymouth County Sheriff's Department. There's a lot of people that have a problem with me, and those are the people that are in that. You know, some of them are in positions they don't belong in, and they're afraid.
Yeah, you did one on the person who runs the motor pool for the.
And you know what, Chris is a good guy. Yeah. He is a good guy, and I get along with him. But he's probably mad at me right now.
It was kind of. I'm a neutral guy.
Yeah.
And everybody knows that I'm a neutral guy. But, you know, there was something that was funny. You made a comment about in regards to the car breaking down during the parade and that he might have made a better sandwich to fix in the car or something in that nature.
Oh, you know, I try and bring humor to it, too. Okay. And like I said, Chris is probably pretty pissed at me right now, but that's okay.
Are you friendly with Chris?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm friendly with Chris. But at the same time, you know, how many qualified people were passed over for that position because of nepotism? You know, Chris,
is that going to be a big issue in this?
It's going to be a huge issue because I'm just scratching the surface. And the thing is that it's so bad that even lay people see it. And, you know, I'm getting, you wouldn't believe the phone calls I'm getting now. You know, now that they say that, I'm not even swinging yet. I'm just throwing little jabs. The big punches are still coming.
Scott, how many people are employed in the sheriff's department?
There's, I believe it's 525-ish full-time employees, but there's like another, I think they go up to like 400 part-time deputies.
So out of those 500 and some odd people, are most of them in the jail?
Yeah, the corrections officers, the ACE guys, they make up the largest portion of that. There's other parts that are the full-time employees, but the guys who work the floor, the guys who work in units, they're the largest quantity of employees. And those are guys, and I worked inside, and when that second door slams behind you, because you go through a sally port, both doors don't open at the same time, so nobody can run out
on you.
But when that second door slams behind you, you know, you're like, wow, you're like another, I'm doing life on the installment plan, you know what I mean? Life 8 hours at a time. And those guys, when they see rampant nepotism, rampant political patronage, when they see the uncontrolled employee campaign contributions. And we're starting to put this all together. The people that are in certain positions have donated a lot of money, you know, and the people, the average guy who comes in and does his eight and wants to be a good corrections officer, mm-hmm. wants to do a good job, when he sees these people in these positions and there's all this money flying around, they kind of like, you know, what happened to merit? And that's why, you know, the underlying current inside the jail is anybody but Joe. And it just happens to be I'm the fresh face. But I bring a lot of good ideas. I've heard tell in the DOC that they might actually close the forestry camp. And I think it's something that's just being looked at. I don't think it's any serious right now.
Is that something that you would...
I would move to take that over immediately. Because the Plymouth County Sheriff's Department is funded by the state. The DOC, again, another state agency. Right now, they're using one of the empty units. The inmate population's down, so they're using one of the units as a Section 35 unit, and that's good. Any bed's a good bed for somebody in the grips of addiction, but they shouldn't be treated like inmates because they're not inmates. They're not sentenced people. They're people that need medical treatment. So you look to the forestry camp, which is not too far. I actually live right in the middle of both of them, and you know, it's a step down. It's a minimum security. This is where the state has people, you know, working on fighting forest fires, picking up trash, doing, you know, cutting down trees and keeping the paths clean. So it's a minimum security prison. What better of a place for the Section 35 people?
But there.
Because they can be treated more like the people that need medical treatment. And in the forestry camp, they're already doing the NEEDS program, the prison pup partnership. A lot of the state institutions do it, where they take dogs, a lot of rescue dogs, and, you know, and other labs, you know, a lot of labs are specific for that, and they teach them how to help people with disabilities. whether it's deaf people or blind people or somebody that needs a companion dog or something like that. These dogs even jump up and flick light switches. It's an amazing program. And why Plymouth County isn't part of this program already, I don't know. Because you save dogs from shelters and you help the disabled. I mean, what better of a win-win? And the most rehabilitative thing, the most therapeutic thing in the world is furry and has four legs.
Folks want to find out more about your campaign. We should have booked you for a half hour, but we got...
That's okay.
We got our next guest is waiting in the wings. How can we find out more about your campaign? And
the website is voteforvecchi.org.
And your Facebook?
And my Facebook is Scott Vecchi for Plymouth County Sheriff 2016. Please go like the page. We broke 1,500 today. I think we're up to like 1,512 or something like that. And a quick plug. The reason why I was running a little behind is because I just locked on a motorcycle run. August 27th, we're going to have the campaign's going to have a motorcycle run out of the Black Raspberry in Plymouth. It's going to be a 9:30 registration. Kickstands up at noon. So, an hour and a half run, and we'll be back at the Black Raspberry for refreshments at 1:30. So August 27th, mark your calendar, motorcycle run, vote for Vecchi.
Thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And we are going to step aside, and when we come back, we're going to get musical for a few moments with Bill Bell right here on Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.
Is Monday Night Talk with your host Kevin Tachi on 95.9 WATD.